Perez waiting in the first pitch. He takes low and away, ball one. That was an ambush waiting to happen right there.
Yes, yes. He just can't wait anymore. I'm shocked that Taiwan's still there.
The pitch. It's blasted. Forget about it. Way back to left. Three-run home run for Francisco Alvarez. His 10th of the year, and it's a route. Now the fourth homer of the game for the Mets, just teeing off on Taiwan Walker.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. And there you heard it last night. Scott Fransky, Kevin Stocker on the call as Francisco Alvarez takes Taiwan Walker deep. Phils end up losing 10-6. And now to talk Phils, all things going on with the Phils with us, we bring in the play-by-play voice of the Phils, Scott Fransky. Scott's call in, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, thanks for hopping on. Rough night
Scott.
Last night for Taiwan Walker in New York.
How's the pulse back there in Philly? How we feeling?
Scott, I didn't even know what to ask you. I was just going to tell you that I missed you the other day when you weren't on the air. When I was listening to that, I didn't even. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't even know what to say because I'm in the car last night and I'm driving when the game starts, and it didn't start great. And I was like, well, damn, what am I going to ask Scott tomorrow? So I was just going to say I missed you the other day.
It's really
well,
cute.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Hugh.
Yeah, a rough
makes
one.
Makes me feel good.
Well, I miss you too in the radio booth, Scott, just so you know. But Murph did a great job filling in your place. But obviously, rough night for Taiwan Walker last night. He struggled again. And let's face it, a nightmare season for Taiwan. Scott, just off the top, what have you seen this year that has been different from last year when at least Taiwan was serviceable in that rotation?
Yeah, well, I think he's really searching, and the guy's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of determination in trying to figure it out, but it just hasn't worked. And I think the big thing that, a drop in velocity hasn't helped. And last night there was a little bit of an uptick over what had been. But again, everything's hard. There's just not enough separation there between his fastball and his split, which was really his bread and butter. That's what he really got by on the previous 2 years, whether it was the last year with the Mets or the first with the Phillies. And he just doesn't have that combination anymore. So he's trying to figure it out with other stuff. His sweeper, his cutter. It's really clear he's just grasping, trying to find something that works. And it's not working right now. And I feel bad for the guy because I've seen up close how much he works and how much he tries and how much he's tried to figure it out, but it's just not working right now.
Yeah, and Scott, obviously a big issue last night was Taiwan going back out for the fourth inning, and Topper gave his reasoning after the game, and understandable, you got a bunch of games in a row coming up, you don't want to burn your bullpen. Just how difficult of a spot do you think Rob Thompson's in there in balancing putting Walker back out for the fourth and going to that bullpen too early?
Well, it is a balancing act. I think part of that comes from the luxury of having some cushion, right? Because I think if you're the trailing team, I don't mean in a game, I mean in the standings, and every game is so critically important to make up ground, that I think maybe they're a little more aggressive with the bullpen on a night like last night, and you kind of worry about tomorrow, you worry about Saturday on Saturday. And the Phillies have been in that position before. In fact, even the last couple of years, they've been in that position at times. So, I get it. He feels like, tomorrow, next day, I'm going to be more in the game with the starters that I have. I think again, the way the fifth starter spot has been, I was looking at it today. It's pretty remarkable. The last 12 times they've gone to the mound, whether it's, as a starter,
right?
Whether it's Allard, Walker, Phillips, or Johnson. This is going back to the 1st of August. Last 12 times, they've combined for an ERA over 13.
Wow.
Now that's dreadful, obviously. The Phillies are 5-7 in those games, which is stunning, right?
Yep.
They're, they're basically a 500 team in those games. They've had some blowouts, there's no doubt, but all in all, they're 5-7 out of the fifth spot there over the last 6 weeks. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to snow anybody here. I'm just, I found that number to be pretty amazing that they are only 5-7 in those games, because I figured it would have been much worse.
No, and that honestly makes me feel a little better. I wouldn't have thought they're 5-7 in those 12 starts either. But Scott Fransky joining us now, play-by-play voice of the Phils. Now for some positives here, Scott, one of the big things over the last week or so, Bryce Harper went 30 straight games without a home run. Power strokes coming back a little bit, hit two home runs in that game last week, hit a big one in Milwaukee earlier this week. What are you seeing from Bryce and his power stroke coming back?
I mean, he's there. I think he's on just about everything. And more home runs, are going to come. But, you know, you see balls like he hit last night. I mean, you line that double to right center in a big spot. It's hard to argue with what he's doing. I know he's playing through stuff, and I know he's dealing with, you know, those. We see him all the time wincing on those, you know, those follow-throughs on swings and misses sometimes. But, I like where he's at. I think he looks good. I think last night or the last, you know, little bit here with Trey, I think Trey's a huge catalyst. I don't worry about Schwarber. I don't worry about Harper, but Trey's been so up and down. And I just think to have those three guys going would be big. I mean, they need to get Bohm going. They need to get Cassidy going, make the lineup a lot deeper. They've got some of those guys at the bottom that are doing stuff now, Marsh, Romuto, even Stott to an extent. But, you know, there's those right-handed bats in the middle, whether it's Turner, Bohm, or Castellanos. Those are the ones I think they need to get going.
Absolutely. And Scott, when you look ahead to the postseason here, and obviously still a little ways to go, Phils still need to clinch. The Brewers lost last night, so they maintain a 3-game lead over them in the National League. Assuming the Phillies get one of those top two seeds, how do you think the pitching rotation gets structured in the playoffs? Because typically Topper likes to go Wheeler game one, Nola game two, but Christopher Sanchez, so much better at home than on the road. How much do you think Sanchez's home versus road splits will factor into that decision for who Topper might throw in a game two?
Yeah, I think it factors in. How much, I don't know, Tom. I think they're really considering it, you know, that idea. And, you know, everybody's talking about it. Obviously, the home numbers for Sanchez. I think you also get a guy in Nola in game three that, you know, it's been there. And, I mean, let's just say, for instance, you lost the first two or one of the first two, and you got a big swing game there in game three. You know, there you can rely on maybe the veteran in Nola and pitching on the road. And, you know, he's such the same guy all the time emotionally that you don't worry about him. So I think they'll take that into account for sure. And, you know, again, I think how Nola does his next start will factor in. How Sanchez does his last couple of starts will factor in. Assuming they get the bye, they'd have the luxury of setting it up any way they want. So, you know, matchups might come into play, too. Who they play, that might have something to do with it, too. Because, you know, if it's a right-handed heavy lineup or if it's a lineup that Sanchez has been really good against or something like that, that might play into it as well. So I think there's a lot of factors, and I don't think they'll be decided on it till they get to October.
Yeah, and Scott, just one more here for you. Obviously, a story around baseball last night, Shohei Ohtani, 50-50 club. Just what can you say about the kind of player this guy is?
I don't know. What can you say?
There's not much,
right?
Yeah.
It kind of makes you think, well, if he's going to do that every year, he's just a hitter. Maybe he should just be a hitter.
Right.
What will pitching take away from him? It's pretty remarkable, and obviously doing it in that fashion, you know, surpassing 50 in both categories on a night like that, driving 10 runs. I mean, just come on, that's just ridiculous. pretty amazing stuff. And I don't relish the prospect of having to face. I hope the Phillies get to face him in one sense,
right?
Because it means they've gone deep in the playoffs, probably. But at the same time, he's going to be a tough out to get. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, hopefully they get knocked off before the Phils need to see
him. That'd be fine with me. That'd be all right.
That would be nice. But Scott, unbelievable. Only one home series left this year. Hopefully the Phils can get the division clinched this weekend in New York. And we'll be listening. Thanks.
Fingers crossed.
Hey, keep your chin up, okay?
Definitely.
Keep your chin up.
Definitely.
We are. There you go. Scott Fransky joining us every Friday. There he is. Phil's got to just clinch this
weekend.
Yeah,
that's all you need is one.
Put it to bed.
Two would be nice, but all you need is one.
Yeah, one would put them in a great spot and really just finish in front of the Brewers. And, man, we're going to have to – did you see what Ohtani did last night, Hill?
Yeah.
I mean,
He had three home runs, and the way that he did it, yeah. I was just like – he's a pretty big dude, too. I mean, that was the thing that kind of stuck out to me last night. The first player to do it. And you know what's funny? Watching him run, he didn't look that fast. Like, and then to put it in perspective, 51 bases.
Yeah.
Like, that's
think
impressive.
You can beat him in a race, Hill?
No, listen. Kyle, I said he didn't look
just
fast.
Just say no. Just say you can't.
But he had to steal 51 bases. He has to be moving.
I do need to say the other night when Schwarber beat that one out down the line, mm-hmm. the first thing I thought of is whether he would have beaten that out.
I think I get Schwarber.
But now while we're calling each other out here, remember, TK, when you said that you would take you would start a franchise of Bryce Harper over Shohei Ohtani? Are you willing to back off of that?
Yeah, it was a bad take. Bad take. I was caught up in the
I'm
moment.
I'm proud of you, man.
It was that week of the Phillies Dodgers. I got carried away. Bad take, hand up.
This dude, but here's the thing.
Though. Sorry, guys.
They paid Buddy to be a pitcher. He can't pitch.
He might come back and pitch in the
playoffs. No,
now
when I say he can't pitch, I mean he can't pitch this year because he's coming off of Tommy John.
They paid him $700 million. Paying him to do both.
Man. Now they're saying he may pitch.
Yeah,
in the postseason.
No, I know.
Man,
yeah,
this cat said, okay, as a hobby, as a side note,
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and hit 51 home runs and steal 51 bases.
What a monster! Unbelievable. Yeah, let's just have them lose before the Phillies play. That'd be great. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly. In for Joe Giglio today as we get ready for Eagle Saints Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Finally, an early game, a day game, after those two primetime games start off.
I don't like them early games, man.
I don't either.
I'm used to the later the day games because, especially like on a Saturday night, you got to get up a little early. Well, I got to get up a little early because I got to be up and about. A little bit early on a Saturday.
I'd like to watch the games in primetime so you can watch the rest of the league on.
Yeah,
Sunday
you want to see how it's going to play out for the rest of the day. Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah, catch all the other games.
So like Sunday 1 o'clock beats the crap out of primetime games. Totally agree. No, I mean like in terms of like football watching,
yes,
the Eagles.
Yes.
Yeah, like I'd prefer the Eagles be on primetime so I can watch the 1 o'clock games. Gotta say though, the 1 o'clock games this week. Suck.
They do kind of stink.
It's kind of perfect for the Eagles having to play 1 o'clock. The 4 o'clock slate is pretty good.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. You got what? Cowboys, Ravens,
Rams, Niners, and the Lions, Cardinals. I think.
Ooh, Lions, Cardinals.
It's
a sneaky
great one.
Game.
Yeah.
How about Coach Gannon, man?
How about him?
He's doing a nice job. Doing a nice job there in Arizona.
Lions, Cardinals. Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that should be a good one. A
lot of points scored in that one. Take the over. In Lions card.
So that's not a lot of confidence in Gannon's defense, then.
He's a culture builder.
Is he? Okay.
That's what he's doing. He's doing that role.
I saw him inviting reporters to come in his office and rip shots of espresso with him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Rip shots of espresso.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you see what he said during training camp? How he did like a study on momentum where he went back and studied things like the 1812 war and how momentum affected that war and stuff like that? It's crazy.
I was going to ask you how so. I'm curious to know.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's hard to. He said, and his end result and his end conclusion was he doesn't know how momentum impacts anything. He just
it was not inconclusive.
It was inconclusive.
No,
that reminds me of
my Harvard studies.
Yeah. Harvard Hugh often takes a lot of time and does intensive studies that turn out inconclusive. So,
I think Hugh and Jonathan Gannon would get along well.
Welcome back.
No, I don't think so.
Who drove over here? Quick, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut?
Who rides the bus as a professional athlete?
Did you?
But I guess some guys
you
do.
You got that fire in your gut here?
Got that fire. It's just the way that he said it, man. It was with no passion. Like, but, I mean, hell, he got him playing right. right now, I guess, so, you know, hey, I can't complain too much.
Well, the best was watching that video and just seeing the facial expressions on the players.
Everybody was like, what?
They were like, what is this guy talking about? No, I didn't take the bus. No, I don't have a fire in my gut. It was very, very odd.
Yeah, it was. And it was one of those things where he seemed like a little bit of a cornball.
Yes. Well, he's
a little bit of a cornball, but he got him playing well. So, yeah, that's all that matters.
Good football coach. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you expect the Eagles to win the game on Sunday? Hugh does. He thinks the Eagles will get off the mat, bounce back.
Wholeheartedly.
I do not.
Wholeheartedly.
I do not think that
they will
bounce back.
With all the fire in my gut.
I want to get there, Hugh, but no A.J. Brown. This defensive line stinks.
Yeah, it does.
Okay? And I don't know what they're going to do in 6 days to fix the fact that Bryce Huff can't set the edge, can't get to the quarterback. How's that going to get fixed in six days?
I feel like it's more pride than anything, man.
I hope so.
And I just remember the pride that I had of being a professional athlete and how the pride of not being disappointing. Because one of the things that I hated when I played was to feel like I was inadequate. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, you guys stink. Like, to hear people say that. Mm-hmm. Like, that just made me mad. And the worst part about feeling like that was that, to your point, I had 6 days that I had to deal with that. You know, 6 days of people asking, hey, well, you guys stink. I'm ad-libbing here. Right. You guys stink. What are you going to do to beat this juggernaut of a team? Hey, well, you know, and you got to just – you have to be humble because you have to understand that you haven't really done anything for anybody to believe in you.
Right.
And you have to understand that. You got to be – as a player, you got to understand that you've done nothing for anybody to believe that you could play on this level, especially after the showing that you just had.
Well, the good thing for you is when you were here, you didn't have many weeks like that. I mean,
I didn't have many weeks, but that first year here was not great.
Yeah.
That first year here was not great, man. And it was like a lot of guys, you know, hiding their faces at the end of practice and everything. And it was tough, man. We fought hard. I just remember being in games and we would fight hard, man, and we would hold the points down. But we just couldn't score, and it was frustrating. It was so frustrating, but you had to come out there, and you had to do it every week.
Yeah.
You had to fight every week.
And it does feel like this is going to be a big pride game for the Eagles.
Yeah.
See what they're made of. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, yo.
What's up, Terrence?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
Hey, guys. I feel like this should definitely be a win. It should be a win this week. Like last week, we were in control of the game. And I feel like that's why a lot of the Eagles fans were in shock the way we lost the game. I feel like the tempo favored the Eagles. And if it wasn't for our defense giving up that touchdown, I feel like we should have won the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Fangio, if you're not getting any pressure on a quarterback with your pass rush, you got to dial up some blitzes. You don't got to do it the whole game. You got to give a blitz once in a while. And to me, I feel like Fangio's a veteran coordinator. He should know these things by now. I don't know if he's going to start implementing it later in his defenses during the season. But we all know, man, with Bill Belichick, he's licking his chops right now. He's waiting for Sirianni to mess up this year. You hear him on the podcast with Tom Brady, Fly Eagles Fly, and all this other stuff. So I feel like a lot of games this year we should be in favor of winning. But it's going to be tough without A.J. Brown. But I feel like if we still have Devontae Smith. We still have Saquon Barkley. If we don't turn the ball over and we didn't execute our plays, we should be able to win this game Sunday.
Well, hopefully that's the case, Terrence, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And one thing you brought up there, Hugh, I wanted to ask you about. If, say, early in the game, the Eagles are stopping the run okay, but they're still not getting home with their front four, do you think Vic Fangio should take more chances, blitz a little more, and leave some of those guys on the back end of man coverage?
Nah. Just stop the run.
Okay.
And let them let pass rusher four. I think baby steps, man. Baby steps. Stop the run. Mm-mm. If I'm the defense coordinator, people are going to be mad at me.
But what if we're not getting any pressure,
Hugh? Stop the run. Stop the run. And when they go on pass rush downs, we will rush with four. You got some guys off the corner that can rush if they figure it out.
Do we?
I believe so.
Who? Bryce Huff?
Bryce Huff is one.
Nolan Smith.
Do you know what the funny thing about Bryce Huff, people? Go look. Do me a favor and just go look at Bryce Huff highlights. Now, I know that you'd be like, but Hugh, he was only playing in a limited amount of time. That's true. But when he was playing, he got some moves. All of a sudden, he don't have any moves. It's mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling to me.
Now, does some of that tell you that maybe he's in his head a little too much?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would probably be in my head if I come to a city and, you know, knowing the history of the city and how much people here love defensive players, I would probably be in my head knowing that I'm not living up to expectations 2 games into the season, and the fact that I haven't shown up on the stat sheet, that would probably be something that would be an issue. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a little bit of that, but it's also just him understanding spatial awareness and understanding what it is to play left linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call it in this defense, just understanding where he is and what teams are trying to do to him, because a lot of times, man, I see him out there, and he's on the ground too much. He's getting pushed too much. Like, use your size to your advantage. Like, play with leverage. If you know somebody's pushing on you on the outside, go push back. Like, just don't let them put a steer wheel in your back and just drive you down the field.
Right.
You can't do that.
And especially when it's a tight end like Kyle Pitts,
yeah,
you got to stand up to those guys.
Used to beat tight ends up, man. I used to beat them cats up.
Yeah, come on. Beat up on the tight ends.
How dare you try to block me?
Let's go to David Westchester. What's up, David?
We can't stop the run this week because I literally, why I've been on hold, have traded for Alvin Kamara in fantasy football. So
who let him go in fantasy football?
Can you believe that, Hugh?
I cannot believe that.
Wait, you traded for him or somebody dropped him?
No, I traded for him.
Okay.
I traded Baker Mayfield for him. And
well, that's a great trade for you, David. Jeez.
That's what I thought. I was like, really?
Who wanted Baker Mayfield that bad that they traded Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
Well, I got Jordan Love on, you know, sitting out there. So when he comes back, I don't need Mayfield anymore. So yeah. I was like, yeah.
It sounds like you suckered whoever you made that trade with, David.
He went 0-2, so he's desperate.
Okay.
So, yeah, he needs a quarterback.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, as far as this game goes, I'm looking at, from my perspective, as a serious football analyst, a 50-50 game. I think it'd go either way. Last week, the offense played good enough to win, but I don't know if they got complacent or, from my view, I think it's a play calling. But what they need to do is, if Jalen Hurts doesn't get the yips and can stay in that pocket, I think they're going to be much better off. And I think that's going to come as the season goes, just because he's getting out of, you know, what he went through last year. And mm-hmm. It's going to take a little bit of time. I looked past this game initially when the schedule came out, because I'm like, yeah, New Orleans, they suck, no big deal. But they actually look real this year. And I don't know what, you know, that offense, you know, I'm going to put him in for, I want him as my head coach, so I don't have to listen to Sirianni and take 4 Tylenol after every single press conference that he gives. It gives me such a headache.
Man, that's not nice, David.
I don't give a shit.
Sorry.
Too funny.
So you're not feeling a win, David?
No, I mean, Tom, I really am torn just because of the way they ended it last week. I mean, I always feel a win because I am diehard Eagles. I'm 4-for-4. You know, even Mr. Black Hockey there knows that. So I'm feeling the win, but I'm just not as confident as I should be.
I got you, David. Appreciate the call. And that's the thing, Hugh. I do feel like it is crazy how much, you know, the outcome of the game impacts things. Because even though the Eagles played, you know, essentially the same game, if Saquon catches that ball and they win, I'm probably feeling a lot better about this game.
Yeah, we all are. Because we're going to it's the battle early in the season of 2-2-0 teams. That's what we thought we were going to have.
And also, that last drive that we saw the defense out on the field would not have happened. So that would have been a big factor as well.
Yeah, yeah. And we would the narrative and the storylines would be totally different this year.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
that's not the case.
No, the Eagles did lose, and now a big game this week as they hope not to fall to 1-2. But now it is time to do a little Q&A.
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Hugh and A on 94 WIP.
Yes, and Hugh and A is sponsored by the Jug Handle Inn. Always award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
Well,
great wings.
There you go. You got to get some of those
good
wings
yes.
for Sunday for the game. But I wanted to ask you a question today based on an NFL analyst who has a really hot take regarding the NFL and a scheme that he thinks should be outlawed. Here was Mel Kiper Jr. earlier this week talking about the too high safety system in the NFL and what he thinks should happen to it.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations. Boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blunt rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. They're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, I didn't even know they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing.
So what do you think, Hugh? Should they outlaw the too high safety system?
Now, see, I'm a 70s baby, right? And I don't recall that many deep shots. You know, I remember like what Lynn Swann with one.
Right, against
but
the Cowboys.
They didn't throw the ball that much back. Like, I'm not saying Mel Kiper's a liar. But I remember more running backs like being a big deal, like Barry Foster's. Now, that's a little bit – that's not the 70s, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, I remember running backs being more Franco Harris, guys like that being more of a factor in the game because they ran the ball so much. Receivers were kind of like, you know, Tony Dorsett's and players like that. Receivers were just like – they weren't that integral
right.
as far as offense is concerned. Now, you talk about the era that I played in. That's why they changed the game where, you know, you talk about they were able to mug receivers down the field and everything. They changed the game because people felt like the offenses were too boring and things of that nature. And that's why, you know, they took out the mugging the receivers down the field. Now, as far as the too high safeties are concerned, the fact that they took out all of that physicality that you could have against receivers, that kind of gave us – that was kind of the equalizer for the defensive side of the ball. So you can't beat them deep. And to have everything underneath. And I've seen a few plays where, you know, underneath routes and everything, if you play it right and you have the right personnel, they could go for some big yards.
Right. That's a bad take, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's one of those takes where you just want to, you know, that's just like me saying, you know, something about bring back ice cream trucks or something like that back in the day.
Right.
You know, the corner store in the neighborhood type deal.
No, I mean, let's be honest. Kiper sounds like an idiot, okay? I mean, the idea that they were airing it out back in the 70s, like
I don't
you said,
recall them being airing it out like that.
No.
Am I wrong? 70 kids, like, hit me up, because I don't recall.
He sounded
it
so
airing
old.
It out like that.
He was the Fran Tarkenton, Joe Namath, Roger Staubach.
But, like, dude. Terry Bradshaw sucks.
No, Terry, like,
so
that's
much
what I'm
rather
saying.
Watch Josh
when he
Allen
said,
than Terry Bradshaw.
When he
like,
said
what are you talking about?
I remember Phil Simms won a Super Bowl, and his completion rate was not that, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't that great.
Right.
It wasn't that great. Like, it's one of those things where, what era is he talking about?
He doesn't remember what he was watching in the 70s. He remembers a play here or there where they'd throw the ball deep and, you know, thinks that's the way the game was played. But
yeah,
no.
I don't know. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. Because I don't recall, like, receiver. It was the running backs
right.
when I was growing up.
No, that was.
Like, when I think of the 85 Bears, I think of sweetness in that defense.
The game is much more offensive now. I have no clue what Mel Kiper is talking about. No
yeah.
clue whatsoever.
Yeah.
Let's go to Hassan and Gladwin. What's up, Hassan?
Back here. There's a leaf.
Yo, Hassan? But so, come on, Hassan. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Hello.
Yo,
what's
Bruce.
Up, man?
Oh, okay. Man, that was a quick switchover. How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, all right. Hey, man, you, man. Look, the last time we talked, you were rightfully so in plant-based mode about Atlanta. Now you're a carnivore. You must have had some of them lamb chops, man, since the last time.
Listen, Bruce. I'm just sitting back, and I'm like, this is almost a pride thing. When you talk about the way that you got handled, like the way that the game ended, I'm not going to say you got handled, even though it probably is relevant in this situation. It's just the way the game ended. We were like, a minute and a half away of talking about a 2-0 football team. Let's be honest.
45 seconds.
I know. I was just feeling the same way. You know, but I just got several. Here's my take on this Sunday. You know, for us to win, it has to. It depends on a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking back at the last game, you know, the defense, rightfully so, got beat up. But here's my thing: the defense, in my opinion, did not do too bad. Other than getting gashed by the run, they had some stops. My problem was that the offense was so. They just didn't do well when they had the opportunities. And one of the problems that. And it hasn't been mentioned a lot, to my surprise here, but I think one of the issues is Jalen has got to have some better he has to distribute the ball more instead of relying on AJ is out, but Devontae, you know, is one of those other people that he, you know, and looking for big plays. I mean, you gotta look at Goddard. You gotta look at a couple of the other guys that we have. And they don't run too many slant plays and hitch routes that allow him to get rid of the ball, in a quicker amount of time. I mean, they have to, like you said, they need to get more creative on calling up some different plays. And, hey, throw in two running backs in the backfield. Use more of the 12 personnel package to generate some offense instead of just trying to run a wide receiver, you know, based offense. Well, they need to change some things up, because if they don't, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, I hear you, Bruce, and appreciate the call. And that's the thing. Like, Hugh, I'm not that worried about the offense moving. They moved the ball well last week. I just think without AJ, the problem is the explosive plays just go away.
Yeah, and you need those, but you also need to be, I feel, more creative in the sense where you can get guys in space,
right?
Like I said, I wouldn't have a problem with Saquon Barkley lining up in the slot, going up against running backs. Going up against linebackers. Linebackers going up against running backs, like we saw in Brazil. I think a lot of times, offensive coordinators get too cute.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah, and it feels like they're going to need to find a way to scheme around that this week and get their best players the football.
Reggie Bush lines up as the tailback. Reese swings it out to Bush. Complete pass and a crunching hit put on by Sheldon Brown.
He did not see that hit coming. He was looking back at the ball. That was a blind hit right there.
Sheldon Brown out in the flat to come and put up a big hit. Reggie Bush was completely exposed.
Sports Radio 94 WIP Midday Show. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas. And that, Hugh, that was one of the worst calls in the history of professional sports.
That was a hell of a hit, though.
Oh, my God. 2006 divisional round. Sheldon Brown lights up Reggie Bush. And Dick Stockton called it like, just another play. It was a huge –
That was a – that's what they call a decleater.
That was a decleater.
You got a bleeder.
At that time, I'm in college, and, you know, I'm a little, you know, tuned up with my friends watching that game. I'm excited for a big playoff game. I jump off the couch. I'm all fired up. And Dick Stockton didn't match the emotion of that play at all.
He wasn't ready for it. He must have been rooting for the Saints.
Or he was just, you know, pretty old and out of it.
But that was like 2006.
Yeah, he still had another 15 years of torture.
He got progressively worse. And remember the thing where he was reading off the graph?
Dude, I cannot stand Dick Stockton.
The Visa halftime report.
To you.
Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony. Look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
He was awful at his job. That's what he did to me. It made me suffer watching sports for years.
He pulled a Ron Burgundy on the graphic.
Awful. I mean, he may have been good in the – he was good when Mel Kiper thinks football was great. back in the 70s with Bradshaw.
That's a good tie-in.
That's when Dick Stockton was
were talking about, like,
in his era.
They were telling me, like, what, Don Coryell was the offensive coordinator for the San Diego Chargers. I don't remember that. I was like four or five. That was a little bit too early for me.
Wasn't that like revolutionary to the league too? Like,
yeah, it was, but that was too early for me. That was a little bit too early.
And then the Bills in the 90s with the K gun, like, yeah. This wasn't like the six. You do not think of the 60s and 70s as airing it out.
No,
like,
I really don't.
It was ridiculous. But yeah, and so we play that Dick Stockton clip. Obviously, the Eagles playing the Saints this weekend. But also, and this hurts to do because this guy is one of the best broadcasters of my lifetime. But Al Michaels, man, he has become increasingly just like checked out. Like on Thursday Night Football now on Prime, he seems once it gets to second half, he's like complaining about how long the games are. This is like a weekly thing with him.
The thing that got me was I text Kyle this. It's when we were watching the game, and Kirk Herbstreit took a shot at him.
Took a shot at him.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, kind of like because Al was going off on AI. He was like, he hates AI and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of like you, and they did Olympic AI. And I was like, damn, that was kind of cold because they did the Al Michaels AI thing for the Olympics.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, that was. Yeah, you shouldn't have probably did that.
He came for him there. But
yeah, it was like, that was disrespectful.
Yeah. And last night, there was an issue with, again, hate to point this out with Al Michaels, but there was a turnover. And it was clearly a fumble, clearly a turnover. Al Michaels didn't really seem to know what was going on. Here's how it sounded.
Meanwhile, Stevenson, who's been great, has only carried the ball five times, now make it six for 19 yards before that guy. More action here now again. Now you got a little skirmish.
Yeah, looks like the ball came out.
Maybe, yep.
Recovered by the defense. First down.
Yeah, recovered by the defense. So Chuck Clark.
He said it was a skirmish, Hugh. It was clearly a fumble and a recovery.
Yeah, that part of the game I did not see, but it's like when you talk about not knowing the scenario, the situation, yeah, that's a bad look. It's a bad look. And then when you have your partner trying to, you know, bring it back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they paid him a lot of money, though.
Maybe he's distracted because Herbstreit's got that dog in the booth. That very unprofessional, by the way.
Wait a minute. I didn't see any of that.
Oh, he takes his dog enough with the dog. All right. You love your dog.
No, I heard about this, though.
It's unprofessional.
It's probably his emotional support dog because that's a big thing now. I did not know that was a thing.
He doesn't need an emotional support. To call a football game.
No, he might because Herbstreit's been got a lot of heat the last couple years. I do recall that because his family and stuff. I don't know where they used to live, but they've been getting a lot of heat lately. So he probably needs emotional support dog.
I don't know, Kyle. What do you
think?
It's
a big deal.
What do you think of the dog?
So I didn't notice the dog in the booth. I would say I probably lean more towards you. Like, there's no point in having it up there, like
emotional support.
No,
animal
come
doesn't
on, man.
Need an emotional support
dude,
animal.
He's at
on.
Work, dude.
Dude, emotional support animals are real. That's what the gator was.
I know. But like
you about to get the emotional support people about to call you.
I know. That's why I'm trying to break my tongue a little bit.
Kyle, that's why
phone,
I'm gonna say it.
You about to
and
mess
then Kyle
around
can take
phone.
All the angry
your
balls
phone
about
about
it.
To blow up.
All right. If anybody needs an emotional support animal, that's fine. Just not Kirk Herbstreit. That's all.
Y'all better leave them folks alone, man. Right.
We'll move on.
Football games are no place for emotional support.
Why not? I mean, come on. People need support. Like, they might have anxiety about being around people.
That's plant-based.
You think so? plant-based, you?
You going
very
somewhere?
I
don't have a dog.
No, I'm insulting two groups.
Yeah, I don't have a dog.
On brand for you to support this.
But I do know that this is a thing, because I have a friend that they talked about how sometimes they bring their dog to work.
Is that friend also plant-based?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, not. I had to think about it for a minute.
Just wanted to check.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Need to get collected.
No, I'm just saying, but it is a such thing as emotional support.
No. Well, yeah, whatever makes you happy, knock yourself out. And hopefully Al Michaels can, you know, get a little better. He's got to get a fastball
Just
back.
Retire, dude.
He's grandfathered in, though. Michaels is grandfathered.
That's called ageism. Y'all trying to get the old people off the air,
hey,
man.
Hey, I'm not. That's Kyle.
It was a couple weeks ago. They were trying to get who's the dude that puts his hand? I can't think of his name. Corso. Lee Corso.
Oh.
They're trying to get Lee Corso off there.
I think he is gone. I think McAfee replaced him, right?
I think you're just...
No, he's there.
I think you're worried because in about 5 years...
Damn, 5 years? Man.
Man, he's going to be 5 years.
I give you five of them.
Give me ten. At least give me ten.
You can get eight.
No, wait, but how was Angelo?
70-something, right? Angelo 73 or something?
No, I got a little time.
You wouldn't work until that long?
I don't know if I want to work that long, but I would like the option.
Okay.
Hell, Sonny Hill's still working.
That's true.
Sonny's still got his fastball. Still,
what I'm saying. Yeah. As long as I have all my mental faculties.
Sonny's the exception, though.
Yeah,
not many people are as sharp as Sonny.
You're already losing your mental faculties.
Why you playing? I might not be long for this
one. 5 years. 5 years might be a good result for you.
You know what? Hey, listen. I know I get my pitching in about, what, two? I'm like, hey, we'll see how this thing work out. We'll see when it work out. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, so we'll be all right. Let's just hang in there. Let's get baby steps.